Our privilege again to have with us Brian Lauer. We've gotten to know him over the past 5 years and his many travels down this way from up in the cold country. He lives in the state of Minnesota, and they had an especially harsh winter up there, so he's thawing out today as he's with us. After he hit 90 degrees, he's probably already thawed out, right? But he has a special ministry involved with college students, going into college settings and communicating the truth of creation, but also communicating the gospel. We look forward to him sharing today in Sunday school, morning worship, and tonight what the Lord's laid on his heart in this regard. So thank you for being with us, Brian.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Thank you so much for coming. It's a blessing to be here. If you would, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at the most controversial chapter in the Bible. You have so-called Christian schools and seminaries that don't believe what God said here. So we're going to go through Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we're going to go over generally, and then we're going to pick it apart. Okay, so in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So what do we have there? We have the earth covered with water and a light source. And the earth is spinning. That's how you get a day. You don't need a sun to have the day. The sun's not there. All you need is a light source and a spinning earth, and that's what we have. And the earth is covered with water. The darkness was on the face of the deep, and God moved upon the face of the waters. So the earth is covered with water. And it was the first day. We're going to get to that in a little bit. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So the obvious question there is, what is a firmament? And I believe this is the most controversial series of verses in the Bible. There's a lot of controversy among Christians. I'm going to give my perspective of it. It may be right, it may be wrong, but it's something for you to study out and come to your own conclusions. And then the third day, and God said, "Let the waters be under the heaven and be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And verse 11, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself." And going on, 12 and 13, and they all reproduce after their kind, after their kind, after their kind. So now you have that firmament. I think that's the atmosphere, and there's a canopy above it. So God's making stuff. He's preparing an environment that's perfect for life. You need air to live. I think that's what was there on day two. On day three, you got land and plants. And now he's about ready to, and then he takes a break. Okay, verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven and to divide the day from the night, and let it be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And at the end of verse 16, he made the stars also. That is the understatement, the ultimate understatement. He made the stars also. It's not even a whole verse. But there's billions of galaxies full of billions of stars, and God says, "Oh yeah, I did that." And then he keeps moving on. And he says it was good. And evening and the morning were the fourth day. In verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So the birds fly in the firmament of heaven. It's not dirt like some people think. And God created the whales, and they all reproduce after their kind, after their kind, and it was good. So now we got the earth, and there's land, and there's plants, and there's air, I believe, atmosphere. There's the canopy, and now there's plants in there. And then the sixth day, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, the cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind." And then at the end of verse 25, it was good. They all reproduce after their kind. So you got, on day five, you had the marine animals and the fowl of the air, and now you got the land animals. And then he comes up to his crown jewel right here, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So now he's got man there. And God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said upon them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." That replenish is a tricky word there. You can fall off the tracks on that word. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So Adam and Eve were supposed to eat plants. And then it goes on to say, To every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. So everything's a vegetarian before the fall. And it was so. Verse 31, And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. That's a very key word there. There's no death, there's no suffering before the fall. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay? And so, chapter 2. Now, in chapter 2, they say it's a contradiction because the order is backwards. You have man, then plants, then animals. And that's not the case. Okay, in chapter 2, And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested the seventh day from all his work which he has made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that it in it he had rested from all his work. And in verse 5, at the end of it, God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not man to till the ground. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So there's no rain before the fall. And also the man was to till the ground. Man had something to do before the fall. Work is not a curse. Work is what we're made to do. And there's a dignity and an honor in doing what God's created you to do. Verse 7, And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So I like to think of chapter 2 as an expansion of the day 6. So he made, what's happening now is in the garden. So now the order might be backwards, but it's just a detailed account of what's happening in the garden on day 6. And verse 9, And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's key. And on verse 15, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Verse 18, And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the creatures. And there wasn't a helpmeet found for him. That's the end of 20. And then go down to 22, And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman, and brought her unto the man. So God made Eve from Adam's rib, and this is the first marriage. Look at verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed, the man and his wife. And later on they call Adam her husband. And marriage is a beautiful thing. Okay, so now let's take a more specific look at what was created. Okay, in the beginning we went through this. We got the spinning earth. We got it's covered with water. Let's take a look at that, the first day. We're going to take a look at when was the beginning in a little bit. But let's take a look at the first day. One of my favorite Bible study tools is blueletterbible.org. I can see what every version has to say about every verse. And there's tools and what's the Hebrew and the Greek mean. So when you go to the King James Version, it says the first day. Go to the New American Standard, it says one day. How many the first days are there? There's one. How many one days are there? All of them. There's a difference. And that's the New American Standard. The RSV does the same thing. The American Standard does the same thing. The Christian Standard does the same thing. One day, instead of the first day. So it does matter which Bible you read. And if you come back tonight, there was somebody who gave me, he was excited about our church. He brought me two ESV Bibles. And I had him look up two verses. And he wanted to throw them away. So come tonight. You'll see how that went. And then in the beginning, when was the beginning? Well, in our government schools, it says 13 billion years ago. But when was it? How do you figure that out? You got the biblical timeline where creation's less than 10,000 years, roughly 6,000. You got the flood 4,400 years ago and Jesus 2,000 years ago, and here we are today. But that's not what evolution says and our government schools say. And even Notre Dame TCU, BYU, Baylor, they all teach some form of evolution. They don't teach 6 days, 6,000 years ago. So what they're saying is God didn't do what he said, or at the very least, God didn't mean what he said. And Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you don't believe them, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And so there, when you start picking and choosing, it's real easy to get real confused. And we see a lot of confusion out there, right? We don't know what marriage is. We don't even know what gender is anymore. A lot of confusion at the state colleges anyway. And so let's take a look at scientifically. Can it be billions of years old? No, it cannot be. This is Dr. Morris. He says, the decay of the Earth's magnetic field has been one of the strongest evidences of the Bible's recent creation doctrine. So the magnetic field's half-life is 1,400 years. So 1,400 years ago, it was twice as strong. And so it was, and then 1,400 years before that, it was twice of that. And he says, you go back two or three, four half-lives, about 10,000 years ago, it would have been so strong the planet would have disintegrated. Its mechanic core would have been separated from its mantle. So secularists, no, they see that, so they have a rescuing device. Well, it charges up somehow in the middle. We don't know how. They call it a dynamo. Well, there's a problem with that, because Uranus doesn't have any heat for the dynamo, and it still has a magnetic field. Plus, Dr. Russell Humphreys, he accurately predicted the magnetic strength of Neptune and Uranus before they could measure it. And he made that prediction based on a 6,000-year model. And this prediction was confirmed when the Voyager 2 went out there. The evolutionists on their billions of years were way off, but he was spot on because he used the Bible as a reference point. That's Dr. Russell Humphreys. And then also, Uranus lacks any measurable internal heat, so they can't have a dynamo. So how is that going to happen? There's a lot of problems with that evolutionary theory, and I give a talk called Evolution versus Science, where we go through all of them. Another one is the moon's been going about, an inch and a half every year. It's getting farther away. Anybody notice that at all? But that's what's happening. It can't be billions of years there. It'd be touching the Earth 1.4 billion years ago. And the other thing is, how'd the moon get there? They can't explain it. They have no explanation. They got three theories. No, now there's four because the other three doesn't work, and the fourth one doesn't work either. So they can't even explain our own moon. There was one astronomer, he was trying to explain, and he says, the best explanation for the moon is observational error. It doesn't exist. But it does exist. They just can't explain what their laws. They just won't allow God to put it there. And so they're reduced to absurdity, I believe. And so you got the biblical timeline, you got the evolutionary timeline. And what do we have here? When we have, at the evolutionary timeline, people get on the scene way at the end, right? In the Bible, people are on the scene way at the beginning. So which ones, you know, those Christian colleges, I don't know how they remedy this. Because Jesus said in Mark 10:6, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. That's the beginning, not the end. So Notre Dame, BYU, TCU, Baylor, how do you explain that? How do you rectify that? Typically, they throw the Bible away and they'll put more faith in the Word of Man instead of the Word of God. And when I was in junior high, I was going through the Bible. I was going to a place where you believed in works for salvation, and so I wasn't saved. And I read the Bible and it didn't make sense. You know, I read, and all the days of Adam were 930 years and he died. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And it's like, 900 years? And so I did what a lot of people do these days. I changed the meaning of years to months. And I thought, what if that was months? And I divided it all by 12, and it was 77, 76. And I told my sister, yeah, that the years, they really meant months. And then about 30 years later, I saw a video that's really kind of, it's really sad. I should have kept on going through the list, because Mahalalel lived 65 years, and he begat Jared. And Enos lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. What's 65 divided by 12? 5. And if you go on, it gets even worse. You know, this is chapter 11. Seah lived 30 years, and Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reuel, and Serug lived 30 years, and when it was 29, what's that divided by 12? These kids are in the nursery. They don't even know if they can eat their hand or not, you know? They don't know what's food and what's not. They got to taste it all. And they're still, you know, trying to figure out gravity. And so God had a time, and these people lived to be hundreds of years, 200 years, 200 years, 200 years. And so God had a word for years, and he had a word for months, and those people lived 900 years. And I'm thinking, well, how can that be? And we'll get that. That's going to be the firmament. I'll cover that. But when was the beginning? Okay. And if you look at Luke chapter 3, it starts with Jesus himself being about 30 years of age, being, it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And they go through 70-some generations, and they get all the way to Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So it goes from Jesus to Adam in 70-some generations. That's not millions of years. Not at all. And so how do you figure out when was the beginning? Well, the Bible gives us some clues. It tells us Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. So 130, and his son was Seth. And Seth lived 105, and he begat Enos. And Enos lived 95. So you go through and you just list up these how old they were when they had kids. And you get all the way from Adam down to Abraham in about roughly 2,000 years. And when you graph this out, it's very interesting. Very interesting, because you see that Adam could have known Noah's daddy. And not only that, Adam's son could have known Jacob. So you could have a real strong oral history from people who saw it, eyewitness accounts. But there's something really interesting here when you graph it this way. That dotted line is the flood. What happened? What happened? Something changed at the flood. What was it? You went from 900 years to 300 years average. What happened? And that's going to bring us to the firmament. Okay, now this is controversial. Firmament. I believe it's a layer of crystalline water that's suspended above the earth that you can see the stars through. Because I was talking to a creation scientist, and he didn't believe in this because you can't see the stars through the vapor. And I said, well, if it's crystalline, he could. And they said their models didn't work. The earth would be too long, too hot. And I was thinking, scratching my head, well, you know, just because man's models don't work doesn't mean God's models don't work. And if man can take sand and turn it into glass that we can see through, then, you know, I believe that God could figure out a way to do it. And also, I gave this talk, and in Revelation 21, it said there were 12 gates and 12 pearls, and every gate was on one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. So gold can be transparent. And when you do the word search here on Blue Letter Bible, that firmament is from Rokia, and that means an expanse, visible arch in the sky. And when you look at the root word for Rokia, which is Roke, that comes up with to pound out as a primitive word, a sign of an analogy to expand by hammering. It's like pound out like a metal. Anybody ever take a shop class and make a chisel? You get it nice and hot, and you pound on it, and you pound on it, and you pound on it. You spread it out like a metal, and you get it where you want it, and you throw it in the water. And that's kind of what that word implies. So pound out as a metal. And this is interesting. Some people theorize, based on reports at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories, that the highly compressed water at super cold temperature causes the hydrogen in water to become nearly crystalline. To become nearly metallic, transparent, and crystalline, as theorized. And that could be what was covering the earth. Now, the guy who does the creation, Carl Baugh, I was talking to him about this, and he thinks that that could have been fiber optic, too, so you could light up the other side of the earth, a dim light. But that's speculative. And so you have this canopy, what's going to turn the earth into a huge greenhouse. So plants are going to grow like crazy. Okay, and so then God puts the plants on there, and they're going to grow like crazy. And we find when this long story short, this person wanted to have a cherry tomato plant in his office in the basement, but he didn't want to run a fluorescent light for it. So he ran down some fiber optic cable to get the sunlight from his roof into his basement. That filtered out the harmful rays of the sun. Then he also put some pressurized carbon dioxide on it. And that little cherry tomato plant grew to be 16 feet tall. It produced 900 tomatoes. They moved it into a mall. And in 14 years, it grew to be, I mean, this is 40-foot tree. It's a tomato tree, 15,000 baseball-sized tomatoes, and it's a cherry tomato plant. So you got the perfect environment. You have the canopy filtering out the harmful rays. You got more air pressure. You got more carbon dioxide. And then the plants are going to go crazy, so you're going to have more oxygen, and that's what we find when we find bubbles trapped in amber. They have 50% more oxygen than what we have today. So something changed in the past. And this textbook said the South Pole is mostly covered by ice, but fossils show that crocodiles, dinosaurs, and palm trees once lived on the land. And I used to think that was from the canopy, but now I'm thinking it's because the earth rolled. And we'll talk about that next service. So you've got this perfect environment. Things are, plants are growing like crazy. And then, he made the stars also on the fourth day. This doesn't work by the laws of physics. Okay, the solar system has a lot of holes in it. The solar system, everything should spin the same way, but it doesn't. You got Venus and Pluto rotating backwards. You got Uranus rotating on its side. And if it came from a spinning dust cloud, which is their best model, the sun should be spinning like a top, and all the planets should be spinning slowly. Not the case. Jupiter's spinning like a top, and the sun is spinning slowly. There's a lot of problems with that one. And then the fifth day, God put the sea creatures into that perfect environment and the fowl of the air. And interesting thing, Karl Bauer has this hyperparabolic biosphere. He's simulating the pre-flood conditions down in Glen Rose, Texas. He's got a higher magnetic field, he's got more air pressure, and he's got more oxygen in the air, and his piranhas grow four times bigger than normal. And I was able to have a meal with him one time with some other people, and I said, I hear your piranhas are four times bigger. And he looks at his friend and smiles, he goes, at least four times bigger. At least. And that's what we find in the fossil record. Enormous, enormous creatures. Enormous. And then the sixth day, God makes the animals, and these reptiles grow their whole life. So if people are living 900 years old, what do you think this is going to turn into in 500 years old? The dinosaurs are just big lizards. They started growing and they never died. And the insects can only get so big today because of the amount of oxygen in the air. It's the surface area to volume ratio. And I saw this video, I saw this slide, and it said there was 50-inch dragonflies. Here's a dragonfly. 50 inches. That's like this. Any motorcycle drivers out there? Get that in your teeth? And then the cockroaches, 18 inches. And I saw those slides and I never used them. It's like, how do I know that that's 50 inches? How do I know that that's 18 inches? And I never used them until I used a government school textbook that says cockroaches and dragonflies are common at that layer. You know, giant cockroaches and dragonflies. And then this textbook gives the dimensions. Dragonflies had a wingspan of more than 1 meter. How can that be? Something changed. And even this is down in St. Louis, I went to a museum. The one on the right is an ancient beaver, and the one on the left is the normal beaver. They figured it would have been 8 feet long, 400 pounds. You probably need them that big because, you know, if you're cherry plants are turning into trees. What do you think the trees look like? And then God created man in his own image and to replenish the earth. Now, so you see, there must have been people before Adam because they're going to replenish the earth. They have to fill it up again, right? If you look at your dictionaries today, yeah, to make full or complete again, to fill again. But keep in mind, when this Bible was translated, we were using those words. We have to understand. I like this video, this tool also. It's the 1828 online edition of the dictionary. What does replenish mean back then? It means to fill. That's it. To fill. Not to fill again. So when you got some confusing words, it's really good to see what their meanings were when the Bible was translated. God's preserving his word, not the meaning of words. It's like gay means something totally different in the Bible than it does in the culture. Okay, and it's interesting, in the 1828 dictionary, they have Bible references in there. Multiply and replenish the earth, Genesis 1:28. You think that's missing from our culture? I noticed I opened up the modern dictionaries, they don't have that anymore. You think that could be something wrong with why our culture doesn't know what's right or wrong? Then God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I was on a radio talk show one time, and a guy called up and said, well, the Bible says that man came from the dust of the earth. And I said, yeah. And he says, well, that's evolution. That's what evolution says, you know, that the dust turned into man. You know, it's just an analogy. And I said, well, the Bible also says that a woman came from the first man's rib. How do you fit that into your analogy? And it didn't. It doesn't fit at all. And so then verse 14, it's not good that man should be alone, so God makes Eve. And the interesting thing about that, the rib with the that he had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought him unto her. And a rib, this guy here, how do you like this for an attention grabber? This is some of the best writing I've read. It says, head-on impact with a fully laden fuel tanker at highway speeds is an experience I would hope none to share. This guy ran into a semi at full speed, and he lived to tell about it. He needed a lot of operations. A lot of them were on his face, and they were always taken. They always needed bone for his face, and they'd always take it out of the same spot. And he said, "Aren't we going to run out of bone?" And the doctor looks at him and says, "It grows back." Yeah, and so, yeah, he looks at me blankly. "It grows back." This is a Creation article. So they leave the covering of the bone there, and that refills. I think it's just amazing. Just amazing. Okay, now what color were Adam and Eve? You know, were they white? Were they black? Were they middle? And actually, we're all the same color. Some people have a lot of melanin, and some people don't. Some people have a little melanin. If I had a piece of tape, typing paper here, you know, that's white. This is light melanin. I think Adam and Eve were middle brown. Just personal opinion. Why do I think that? Because you can get any combination from that. You can get light, you can get dark. Now you have people living in this perfect environment. And anybody remember baby Jessica? She fell into this 8-inch well, and she was down there for 58 hours, 20 feet down. They ripped the neighborhood apart to get her out. And so what happens? She stepped down, one foot goes down, the other one goes back up, and it's her foot's in her ear. So she's there for over 2 days. So there's no circulation going into that leg. And I've heard two stories. Either her leg was black or her foot was black. We'll just say her foot was black, okay? And the doctor says, "We're going to have to cut that off." And somebody said, "Well, let's put her in a hyperbaric chamber." And they said, "A hyperbaric what?" That's where you unknowingly simulate the pre-flood conditions. More air pressure, more oxygen, the foot came pink. "Well, we're going to have to cut the toes off." "Well, let's give it another try." And her toes came pink, except for the little one. The little one they did have to cut off. But if you had people living in perfect environments, you know who loves these hyperbaric chambers? LeBron. He loves it. And I guess I've heard people that you feel great when you come out. You feel like you're 20 years old again. You feel like you could run forever. Football players. Look at a list of these football players who have it. Not that I'm glorifying football, but there is one guy, Ben Watson, that I will listen to what comes out of his mouth because he does glorify God. He says, "The heart of the issue is a sin problem, not a skin problem." And he's right. And he was sharing that message on one of the networks, and he just kept going on. All of a sudden, it goes blank. They had technical difficulties. And the person who was saying, she was, "I know you guys are trying to cut him, but I just couldn't." So they pulled the plug on him. They don't want God to be glorified. All right. And now this is where some Christians get messed up, too. I mean, the teeth. They look at the teeth and they say it's really violent, really violent. See, carnivores have sharp teeth, you know, for ripping meat. And so, well, wait a minute. Here's some sharp teeth for a panda bear, and he just eats bamboo. Here's a sharp teeth. What do you think that is? It's a deer. It doesn't eat meat. This is a fruit bat. It doesn't eat meat. This is a vegetarian monkey. It doesn't eat meat. And has anybody seen Is Genesis History? Has anybody seen that? Yep, and this is one of the things that I disagree with. They look at the sharp teeth and say how evil it was in the world at that time. No, sharp teeth just means you have sharp teeth. That's it. Okay, and then they also have lions that wouldn't eat meat. You put a drop of blood in their milk and they wouldn't drink it. And they're trying to figure out how you can get the lion to eat meat. And they're giving tours at the place and the kid says, "Don't you read your Bible?" And he says, "What do you mean?" They said, Genesis 1:30. So as fast as he could, he went to the Bible and said, "Unto every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. So that can still happen today, even after the fall. And then they made it. And then also for the people, it said, "I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is in the fruit of the tree-yielding seed, and to you it shall be for meat." So basically everything's vegetarian. And it's real interesting because up in the Hunzas, they eat a lot of apricot seeds. That's kind of their currency, is apricot seeds. Anybody ever ate the seed of a peach pit? You get a vice grip, you crack it open, it looks like an almond, and you eat it, and it's bitter. And it's got a lot of B something in it. I think it's the same stuff that's in apple seeds. And these people stay healthy unless they start eating the American diet, and they don't. They don't contract cancer for as long as they adhere to that, their typical diet. And this is really interesting because I was told that apple seeds were poisonous when I was a kid, so I didn't eat them. And it's true, kind of, okay? It says that it releases benzide and cyanide, and the cyanide. Okay, so it's kind of like cyanide, those apple seeds. The interesting thing is they don't attack anything but cancer cells. So I've been eating the apple core for 15 years now. And when I have a peach, I crack it and I eat it. And if it's a poison, it's really a slow poison. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Notice there's no death, no suffering, no nothing. So is Genesis historical or figurative? Well, if you read the account of, God said unto Noah, and the end of the flesh is to come before me, before the earth is filled with violence. And he could go on. He's supposed to make this ark, and he's going to destroy the world. And just think, if Noah would have said, well, that's great poetry. That's nice figurative language there, God. And he didn't build the ark. And look at this. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, does that sound like poetry or history? That's history. It's when the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And if it is figurative, well, then God lied. All those evolution people, they have to have a local flood. The rainbow says he's never going to do it again. And he's never had a worldwide flood again. We've had plenty of local floods. Yet who is here for those 20-some inches in one day? We helped clear out some people. That's what's so destructive. And that was interesting, too, because we're cleaning stuff helping a church clean out stuff out of a house. Beautiful dresser, wood. Beautiful, bookcase, bedstand and everything. All just hard wood. And she woke up, and there's like a foot and a half of water in there. She called her pastor, can I get out or will I get electrocuted? But all that was destroyed. And my son, you might see him tonight, he's like, man, I'm never having good stuff. It's all going to burn anyway. And so also, Jesus always refers to Genesis as an accurate historical event. So how long did it take? It took 6 days. 6 days, not millions of years. And I was on another radio show, and the co-host said, well, couldn't each one of those days be millions of years? And I asked him, what verse in the Bible causes you to think that? There's nothing in the Bible that's going to cause you to think that. See, he's got more faith in the Word of man than he does in the Word of God. And I said, besides, it doesn't make sense anyway. Plants are made on day 3. Can they live millions of years without the sun on day 4? And even if they could they live millions of more years without the birds and the bees to pollinate them? And so they're doing all this mental gymnastics to fit millions of years in there, and it doesn't fit. And I was talking to a woman, and she found out I gave you these creation talks, and she goes, what side are you on? And I said, creation, how about you? And she said, can I say both? No, you can't. You can't say both. You can't believe, this podium can't be in this room and out of this room at the same time. It breaks laws of logic. And you can't believe in contrary things at the same time. And evolution and the Bible are full of contrary things. Well, is the earth before the sun or the sun before the earth? Well, they just couldn't see the sun from the earth because there was too many clouds. The clouds dissipated, then they could see the sun. They have a lot of rescuing devices, so I'll just ask them, how about the whale? Was that before land animals or after land animals? Because that's very distinct. The Bible says they were on day 5, then land animals are on day 6, so they were before. Evolution says that we evolved in the sea, went up on the land, and went back into the sea for the whale. Which you can't believe both at the same time. I'm saying pick a lane and get in it. If you believe this is true, believe it. Don't try to squeeze stuff in there. And the main problem with evolution before evolution making man is now you got death before sin. Death has just always been here. Where the Bible says death is an enemy, it's going to be destroyed. Are we looking forward to an afterlife, the next life full of death? No, we're looking back to how it was in the Garden of Eden where we weren't supposed to die. And wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men so that all have sinned. If there was death before sin, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? And what is he trying to restore? More death? And that brings us to chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Yea, hath God said. He didn't really mean that. He can be as gods. And so the world became increasingly violent. The imagination of the hearts of them were evil continually. And then God destroys the earth. And on Sunday, in 15 minutes, we're going to take a look at how God destroyed the earth. Is there one theory that has just one assumption, and that assumption is found in the Bible, that explains 25 major features on Earth and in the solar system, plus it makes accurate predictions. So hang around for that. You are dismissed.